At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
So when I'm pushing him out, they're like, okay, we can, you know, take a break for a minute. I'm like, no!
You didn't know where their careers were going. And now seeing your boys on social media, what has that been like for you?
That's been a little bit hard.
What phases of both Derek and Tanner do you feel like were the hardest?
Oh, gosh. They were so different. Tanner was very, very quiet and reserved. I think he just wasn't as sure of himself. And Derek was a little too sure of himself sometimes.
Hi.
Hey.
It's Sarah and Lo Beeston,
your Fairly Odd Sisters.
Woo!
Yeah!
Please don't make me do it again.
Welcome back to the Fairly Odd Sisters.
Hello.
We had Lo's mom on our last episode, and today we have another amazing mom on. This is Derek and Tanner's mom, Michelle. She is our mother-in-law.
Yep.
And she's the best. Well, we both fell in love with her sons, so if that's to speak on who she is right off the bat, she's amazing. Do you want to give us a little intro of yourself?
Sure. I was born on a naval air base in Lemoore, California, and grew up in Central Valley. I was the second oldest. I am the second oldest of five kids. And my older sister is like a year older than me. So we're kind of both the oldest. But I had great parents. They taught me how to be independent and a good person.
And build stuff. Her dad's an amazing carpenter.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Carpenter. Yeah. So he got out of the Navy because my mom was tired of planning his funeral because he was a fighter pilot. And so he was a good husband and did that for her. It was hard for him. But so him and his wingman went in on a cabinet business together and did that until they retired. So it was a great childhood. Mm-hmm. I was ready to get out of Central California, but now I kind of long for that and I miss it a little bit.
You do.
So it's fun to hear like that you guys went to Big Sur because we spent time there when we were young.
Beautiful
and
over there.
Yeah.
So
Pismo
pretty.
Beach. And
you had that small town vibe.
The small town vibe. Yeah.
Same with my mom. You both kind of had a similar California.
Yeah. It was a very small
town.
Yeah.
That's
so fun. When did you eventually go out of the small town? Because you did.
I did. Yes. So when I graduated, I was planning on going to Fresno State. But my parents had other plans for me, and which I am grateful for at this point in my life. I look back and I'm grateful that they kind of put their foot down and sent me to Idaho on a bus.
So
by
different.
Myself.
So different. Sent me on a bus by myself. I'm not mad.
You're like, I'm so grateful that they sent me to Idaho where they have potatoes.
Honestly, I feel like I blocked that out because my mom said it was the hardest thing she ever did. Aww. But she felt that it was going to be the best thing for me, and it really was looking back. So she was inspired to do that with her and my dad. They did everything. They made all decisions together, which I look back and appreciate that now too. But she said it was the hardest thing because I had my hands pressed to the window crying. And they're watching me go away, you know. Oh, I don't remember a minute of it. I don't remember a minute
really?
Of it.
But they remember.
So they remember. Yeah. And I just thought they were so cruel.
You're ruining my life.
Yeah, totally ruining my life.
All your friends were going to
All my friends
college.
Were going local mostly. And so, yeah, and I didn't want to be away from my friends. And but because of certain things that were happening in my life, it just actually was better for me. And I grew a lot more as a person and as an adult there, I think, than I would have. Yeah. And made new friends and that were great. And so, yeah.
So that's, looking back, it was a good thing.
It was. It definitely was a good thing. Because
yeah. Yes. You met somebody special.
I met somebody special.
You met pretty a little bit there. Someone. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I was young. I graduated when I was 17 because I started kindergarten when I was 4. And it was just the cutoff. And I think my parents were like, get her out of here. She's climbing trees. She's going to fall out and die. Get her in school. So I was young going to college. And not long after I was there, I had a friend who knew a certain somebody that was really cute, and she wanted to set me up. And so he was playing football there, and I actually was on the cheer squad there. And so it was very cliche. Yeah.
Very
he was the quarterback, although he was third string. So he got to sit on the bench and I got to,
you guys got to make eyes at each other
during the games. So yeah, we met because of a mutual friend, and we were sitting around this big group of us kind of just like talking one night, and I was sitting next to him, and somebody asked me how old I was, and I'm like, oh, I'm 17. And literally he got up and scooted over to
he
the other
away.
Side. He was like,
how old did think you were at that
He
point?
Thought I was a sophomore.
He thought you were of age, probably.
He thought I was a little older than 17.
Of age. 17. Like, oh, no, you're not an adult
yeah,
yet.
Yeah. So anyway, we met. He was actually dating somebody else. And so we didn't really date exclusively. But
name cannot be spoken.
Name cannot be spoken. But she was actually one of my really good friends. Mm-hmm. So I turned 18 in November. In December, he decided it was only me and we were going to be a thing. Or we
had
decided.
Turned 18.
Well, he kind of decided. I guess I was dating around too. I actually went to school with a boyfriend. I talked him into going to Rick's College.
He followed you to Idaho.
No way. And he's amazing. And
did he get married?
I don't know. I kind of lost track, but he's got an amazing wife and amazing family, mm-hmm. and they're doing really amazing things. So yeah,
it
but a
out.
Really good guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't meant to be. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be with my man, Joe. And
my man, Joe. Our father-in-law.
So yeah. So anyway, that December we decided we would be exclusive. I was so sick that December. I had walking pneumonia, and my parents had booked this vacation for us in Baja, in Rosarito Beach. And so my sister and I, and this is another crazy thing that my parents were like, you don't know what happened. The story behind that isn't just that we told you to get in your Volkswagen Bug and drive from Idaho to Tijuana, through Tijuana and down two young girls a year apart, 18 and 19.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, that was an adventure. But anyway, so we got there. I slept the whole way in the car. My sister drove the whole way. I slept for the first 3 days of the vacation because I was so sick. And the first thing I said when I woke up was, I won. And my parents were like, you won? What did you win? Like Joe Beeston. I won Joe Beeston.
Are you serious?
That's the first thing that I said when I woke up after sleeping for 3 days.
Stop.
So yeah, and that's kind
when
of
your
where
parents
we
knew they were
exclusive.
In trouble and that they were gonna have to start planning a wedding,
right?
The whole thing.
Yeah. So yeah, and then from there, it was another year before we got engaged. 3 months of that we were apart because I was home for the summer. He was in Seattle. He's from Seattle. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did kind of a long distance thing for a minute. And during that time, I was like, I am too young
really
to be getting married. What am I doing? And I really, really, really struggled because my friends who I love in my high school friends, we all decided we would be at least 25, which sounded so old to us at that time. Like, we're not getting married till we're at least 25. Mm-hmm. But now looking back, I'm like, 25 is really young too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I felt bad that there was just a lot of things going through my head. And then my mom and dad at that point obviously had met Joe. Mm-hmm. And they fell in love with Joe. They probably, I think my mom loved him more than she loved me. I know my grandma did.
That's always how it goes.
Yeah, right? And so I was just struggling. And my mom sat me down one day and she goes, okay, so here's the deal. If you don't marry him, which is really funny because I'm really young. No. She said, if you don't marry him, somebody else will. And are you okay with that?
Oh, that's a good question. Way to put it, actually.
Yeah. And so I thought about that for a few days.
And you were not okay with
that? I was not okay with that. Okay. And even being so young, I just felt like it was right. He was going to be an amazing husband and father, and he has been. I mean, you know, marriage is hard, mm-hmm. and all of that, but all in all, I have not regretted it for one second in my life. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
made the right choice.
You got some awesome kids out of it.
I got some amazing kids out of it.
Did you
feel a couple of scoundrels and a couple of goodies?
Are you talking about Derek or Tara? What are you talking about? No, that's awesome. So you got married when you were 19.
Yeah, right? So 19? I was barely 19. So we got married at the end of December. Yes. I turned 19 at the beginning of November.
Okay, and then how much later did you have Tanner? Because Tanner's the oldest brother, if you haven't caught on.
Yeah,
by now, twins. They're not twins.
My number one, yes. So I was actually 19. I was still 19 when I got pregnant.
Oh, okay. My gosh, that is...
You guys so did not wild. Waste time.
So we didn't waste time. Honestly, you guys, I was so worried. I don't know why. It was such a fear of mine to not be able to have kids.
I think, yeah, that ran through my mm-hmm. mind too.
Yeah. And so I just, and I had I knew somebody who, you know, they waited for a few years before they started to try to have kids. And then she couldn't get pregnant. And then it was just so many years later. And I just mm-hmm. didn't want to chance that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we were both ready. My husband likes to overthink things. And so, but I knew him well enough to know that it would be okay. And so mm-hmm. we decided to just give it a shot. Yeah. And it happened really fast.
Yes.
And so there you go. I can have kids.
Yes. And here we are today saying she's had four beautiful children. Did,
yeah, I was able.
No, but I understand that fear. I think every person that gets married, I definitely have that thought. Yeah, same. Will I be able to have kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's a big fear.
Yeah,
so I totally get that. Looking back, do you feel like that was the right time for you guys? Do you think you felt too young when you had
Tanner?
You
know what? I never felt too young until somebody said to me, you are way too young to have kids. You know, people say things. And so I remember just feeling a little insecure about that. But personally, no, I never felt like I was too young.
You weren't overwhelmed. It was just you did it.
I mean, you get, no matter what age, I think you still get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But no, I never look back and go, well, I was way too young to mm-hmm. do that. Yeah. It was just something that I always wanted to do. And so I was just really excited to be able to start that phase of my life.
Yeah. Can we just talk about how you gave birth to all of four children unmedicated? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I'm a little crazy.
And Tanner was 2 weeks, 10 days over.
He was 10 days overdue.
And nine and a half pounds.
So yeah,
not alive. We have a superwoman sitting in the chair.
Yeah. Did you not pop every blood? Like
I did that with him,
with Tanner.
Yeah, yeah. I popped every blood vessel in my face. I looked like somebody just kicked me in the face a million times. My eyes were bloodshot because I popped those blood vessels too. Because, and I'm kind of like a all or nothing kind of person. Uh-huh. So I can't baby step into things. You guys know that. I totally wrecked myself trying to work out with you because I'm like, I can do this. Yeah. So I have a hard time baby stepping into things. And so when I'm pushing him out, they're like, okay, we can, you know, take a break for a minute. I'm like, no, we're getting him out right just now. Yeah. And they're just like, breathe, breathe. I'm like, no. So
holding
yeah. So literally wasn't a great way to do that, but I did. And then they put me in this recovery room with a big mirror right next to my bed. So I was just like, whoa. Just scared of myself. So.
Did you think with the next kids, what made you want to do natural again? I'm just curious.
Well, after that experience. I didn't really have a choice.
Oh.
With Derek. Derek was so ready to get into this world.
Oh, yeah, he slid.
He slid right out.
Slippery worm.
There was no time for any kind of epidural. Okay. So, and then with Allie, I kept thinking they were going to send me home because my contractions were not really that rough. Like, I was like, oh no. Okay. No, yeah, it's getting bad. Oh wait, no, it's not bad. And I thought they were going to send me home. And then they're like, you're ready. And so I didn't ever really need it. I know that sounds crazy, but that is really how it went. Mm-hmm. And then Larissa was another Derek. And she just, it was so, so fast.
Tanner was probably the hardest, obviously.
Yeah.
So after that, you're like, this is easy. Yeah. Even though it's still like for us,
how hard
like,
can this be? Yeah. No.
Missy and Derek were the little string beans that just came on out.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I think I was afraid of an epidural. I'm afraid of needles anyway. I don't like to feel like even going to the dentist, I can't handle the numbing feeling. It really kind of wigs me out. And so, and my mom had a really bad experience with an epidural back in the early days. And so she was nervous for me to have one. And so, and we're, my family, you know, my parents were like, do it yourselfers. Like, you know, my mom and dad are such hard workers and they're just like, you can do this. You don't need to. So yeah, that's kind of how that
that's
went.
How that
anyway,
happened.
Too much information.
No. We've gone through birth in this chair.
Yep.
We talked about our births in depth. So it's kind of scary, but it's amazing at the same time.
Well,
then you get a tiny little baby out of it. It's just the best.
Oh, it is the best. And honestly, my brain doesn't retain a lot of memories. The ones that I really wish I could remember, like, why aren't those in there? Those were such good memories. People are telling me, why can't I remember that? But man, I remember everything about having those babies lay on your chest.
And,
so sweet.
Well, that's a part. I feel like I've already forgotten. And Sunny's a year old. I don't remember how tiny they are. Oh, they're like the size of your hand.
Oh, yeah. It's going through my head right now.
It's so sweet.
Falling through your fingers.
Okay, so obviously now being a mom is a little bit different than maybe when you were raising kids. There's just technology and it's a booming new world with lots of baby gear and stuff. How do you feel like it's different from your point of view, like now seeing your kids have babies to when you were doing it?
Well, like you said, it's great. All this new information and new technology and all these gadgets and things are great. But I'm kind of glad that I didn't have to worry about all that. That, you know, when I had a question about how to raise my kid, we did have a book that came out, one of the first, What to Expect the First Year or something like that. It was a second edition of What to Expect When You're Expecting. Anyway, that's what we had kind of as our encyclopedia, our textbook for that. And, but if I had, you know, a question, I would ask my mom, or, you know, if it was really something that just wasn't working well for me, I would pray about it. Or, you know, there wasn't anything to go to like you have now. Yeah. And I feel like that would have given me a lot more anxiety because I have a hard time making decisions too with those kind of things. And so I would just be, well, what do? Do I do this? Do I that? Oh, they said this, but they said this. Mm. Oh, what do I do?
So contradicting.
It's very true. It's such a simpler time to do that. I feel that stress of which sound machine is going to be the best. And now there's articles, sound machines are bad for your baby. And now it's like good for your baby. Like it seems what you're describing is a much simpler time to raise the kids. You just ask your parents, you ask people around you if you have a question.
Yeah. And you kind of figure it out.
That you're fighting with almost.
Exactly. Yep. So
pros and cons to both.
Definitely pros and cons. Yeah. I mean, this is amazing. You know, the things that you guys have access to now for your kids. And, you know, we'll say stuff like, well, we didn't have that and our kids turned out just fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are an evolving world and we progress. And so, but it is a lot. It is a lot.
It's a lot
and
of
so
info that you can get. It's right a lot of info. And you just, it, in your nature, you just want to be the best mom ever.
Yeah.
So you're just looking for everything that would help you be the best mom.
For sure.
All right. So as we said, we both fell in love with your sons. We want to know some of the differences, starting from the beginning when they were little, differences between Tanner and Derek. What have you seen? How have they changed since they've gotten older? Just kind of that. And some of their similarities too.
Yeah. So we'll start with Tanner. Of course, he was my first baby. He made me a mom. Mm-hmm. And that, sorry.
Okay.
That was one of the best days of my life. So he was such a easy baby. He was, although none of my kids wanted to sleep at night until we had to do the cry it out. We didn't, and it was kind of a harsh cry it out. It was really, really hard. But other than that, you know, I had to do that with all of my kids. It didn't quite work for Derek, but we'll get to that.
I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that has been passed on a tiny bit into our kids.
Oh, sorry. No, it's okay. But anyway, so Tanner, as he started to grow, he was very observant. He just was always kind of taking everything in, you know. He wasn't hard to raise. He was easy. He was a good eater. You know, that is such a big deal.
Yeah. He's still, so funny. He's still a good eater.
He's still a good eater. Yeah.
He's still a good boy.
So he was pretty, so we're talking about when they were just little, right? Mm-hmm. Toddlers, kind of raising them. He didn't require a lot of attention, and I don't know if that's all. Now looking back, I think that that a lot of times happens with the first child, like they just don't need that attention. And so then, when Derek came along,
I love hearing this.
I mean, when Derek came along, I mean, like I said, he came slip sliding into this world ready for...
He was making it known.
I remember my sister was in the delivery room or the recovery room with me, and they had set him in his... Oh, no, maybe she was in the delivery room right after he was born because we both lived in that same area. And they set him in his little... bassinet, and they didn't wrap him up. And he was just, I just remember looking over at him. I was going into convulsions because he came out so fast that my body went into shock. And so they were trying to warm me up, but I remember looking over at him and he was screaming so loud. And I thought, his mouth is so big. He was just wailing, and my sister was trying to find a nurse because she's like, they need to wrap this baby up. They didn't have a blanket in there.
He's going to be traumatized for life. So hard, because this is picturing what you're describing is how I feel about Jack. Like that mouth is so big and that scream is so in your face.
So So Tanner was very tolerant and such a good big brother. And I mean, he had his moments, but I don't remember him ever, you know, just being completely out of control where, you know, we couldn't console him. He was easy to console. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, so observant. So he just kind of wanted to take everything in. And Derek, you know, he just had to go. I see a lot of Jack in him, but I see a lot of Sunny. You know how when you hold Sunny, she's like, touch, you know, she just wants to go. And I see that's how Derek was. He just couldn't sit still. Mm-hmm.
Ants in the pants.
Both of them. Never stopping the movie.
Yeah. Although Derek did try to curtail that. He would try to, you know, wrestle him to the ground so that, you know, he would stop moving, or, you know,
Tanner would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was still the big brother. Yeah. And so there was still a little bit of that, but.
And Tanner would always, he said that he would always be laughing, and that would just make Derek warm.
Well, as they got older. Yeah. Like in elementary school and things like that, when Derek would start throwing a fit, Tanner would just sit there and laugh at him, and it would just, he would, Derek would go ballistic.
That is still true today.
That's still true.
It's true in a different way, but if Derek would,
because Derek liked to ask a million questions, still to this day, and which isn't a terrible thing. I think asking questions is good, but they were incessant when he was little, and we never had the right answer. Like
it wasn't good
he
enough.
Would catch us, like if we paused for a minute. Wait, are you sure you didn't say that fast enough? Or, you know, he would know if we were hesitating, like, wait, that's not the right answer.
He needs a definitive answer. You can't hesitate.
And so we learned that as he got older, and we got a little bit better, but it was still a struggle. And yeah, Tanner would just play that game. He just would get him so worked up. So he was still the older brother. We had to have some, you know, come on, guys. Come on, you're the older brother, which is hard too. It's hard to be the oldest. Yeah. Be the guinea pig.
And Derek is a little bit sensitive. In Tanner's defense, he gets sometimes a little sensitive when Tanner's laughing even now.
Yeah.
Like Derek will be like, bro, he like actually still we see a little bit of that. I'm sure he's not throwing tantrums anymore.
Right. Right.
We see he does.
He keeps that inside.
Yeah. Okay. So now transitioning into them now being adults and dads, have you seen them change? Are they still same?
I mean, of course they've grown, and I'm amazed by, you know, the people that they've become. I just always as a mom, you know, we kind of going back to that, when you're a young mom and, you know, you do feel overwhelmed, but I just really wanted to teach my kids mostly to be good people and to be good to other people. And I guess that means the same thing, but I just really wanted them to learn to be kind and to each other as well. And so now that I see them as adults, they have done, you know, that just makes me so happy that they have grown into to good people and good adults, and that they are kind, and that they're such good dads watching them with their kids, and that, you know, they are learning. And again, like I said, marriage is hard, but learning to be kind to you, I hope. From what I see, they're being pretty kind and good people. And honestly, they still are the same little boys at the root, you know, they still have their personality, but they've, you know, Derek has learned how to control, you know, his frustrations a little bit more, and still learning. And I think, and Tanner is still observant and taking everything in and wants to learn about everything. And so, yeah, they're still my little boys. But they have just, you know, matured and grown into these amazing men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about them becoming dads. How has that been for you?
Oh my gosh.
Is that the best part right about now,
it
them
just
growing
makes
up?
My heart, like I get this fluttery feeling just thinking about it. And because you think about that as a parent, you're like, I hope they're good dads. I hope they're engaged. I hope they're involved and they want to be involved in their kids' lives. You know, as much as they can. And we never knew what I'm sure we're going to get to this, but their career would be, you know? And so we didn't know if that would take them away from, you know, from family life. And we just wanted them to be as supportive and involved as possible in their kids' lives. And they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just makes me really, really happy to see that they are able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they like want to do it.
And they want to do it.
It's not like a task on their list.
Yeah, exactly. They truly do.
Yeah, Lo and I talk all the time about how lucky we are seeing just from what I've seen even of other dads that are great, but just not as involved with their kids. And Tanner and Derek know just as much as we do as their moms, if not more. Like they spend so much time with them. They get to be in all these little moments that I look back, and Lauren can obviously relate to this too. Like, my dad was traveling 24/7, gone weeks on end. And Lauren's dad wasn't really in the picture. So I feel like I missed out with a lot of time with him mm-hmm. and growing up. Yeah. And Tanner and Derek are in every single moment from beginning to the end of their kids' lives.
And I think a lot of that comes from, like, when I came into your family, I met you guys for the first time. I remember being like, oh my gosh, like, oh, like, dad's come to this stuff. Like, I remember just seeing Joe, how even though he was working full time, he was at Tanner's practices for baseball at every game. He was so present. And I think that really did help, with absolutely. How they wanted to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, we had talked about earlier on in Joe's career that, you know, they kept asking him to, you know, promote, and, you know, we want you to, you know, be a manager, or, you know, to promote in his career. And we talked about it, and he said, but that'll mean that I won't be able to go to their practices, and I won't be able to be at every, you know, game, and I need to do that. And so that was kind of, you know, it was a big chunk of, it was a financial sacrifice, you know, that, you know, maybe we could have had more things or whatever, but for him, that it was more important for him to be with, you know, involved and present. And so I think you're right. That did.
Yeah. I've even talked to Derek about this, and I think sometimes you don't realize those things until you are a parent. And Derek now talks about that, looking back, saying my dad made such an effort to be at all those things, and he wants to be that way for Jack. So that definitely got passed down from him watching Joe in that, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Moving kind of into, you talked a little bit about you didn't know where their careers were going, and now both of your boys are, they're in social media, but they're also stay-at-home dads for half of that. What do you feel being a mom, seeing your boys on social media? And there's a lot that goes with that. There's hate comments, there's praise, there's people forming opinions when you know them at their core. Mm-hmm. What has that been like for you?
That's been a little bit hard, actually. I mean, I'm very impressed by the way that you have grown this business, you and your husbands, my boys, together. And I've been grateful for, like we were talking about, the fact that they can be present with their kids with this kind of a job. It just reminds me when you say, you know, people form opinions, because I know my boys. And so sometimes it is hurtful to see, you know, some of the opinions about them in a negative way. I remember for example, one that I can think of, when Jack was born and Derek was a dad for the first time, and the video showed him just reacting, you know, to being a dad. And one of the comments, and a friend of mine said, hey, your son is on this major,
account.
And so I'm like, oh, I should go take a look. I didn't know that it, you know, so I went on there and I looked, and it was just this beautiful moment that he just couldn't even speak. You know, he was just in this amazing moment. And somebody said, oh, he for sure is on drugs. And that mama bear in me.
Yes. Yes. I remember this. I actually remember this.
Yeah. So I think I responded. I did, to somebody's comment.
I think I was like, yeah, I did. So I did.
I responded.
I did. And anyway, I won't say what I said, but then I talked to Derek about it. He's like, mom, don't look at the comments. Just don't look at them, because there's a lot that are really great, but you're going to find some in between there that are really, really hurtful. Mm-hmm. And so for a mom, like I said, I am just grateful that you all have this amazing career, and that they're involved with that, and that they can stay home with the babies. But I also feel like it's just hurtful. I just don't want anybody, you know,
saying negative
things about them, when I know that they're such good people and that they're just trying their best mm-hmm. and, you know, with whatever situation, and they're just trying to make the world a little better place. Mm-hmm. And like, just like you both are doing with your content and things like that. So yeah, it's been a little bit hard, yeah. That way, but, I mean, it's just amazing. It was hard for us to kind of grasp on to this influencer career as a career, you know. I think they even have these like in career fairs now. There's booths it's a marketing degree or something. Somebody told me that.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's what somebody said. And so, you know, it is a real job. It's a hard job. It's one with a lot of pressure that you have to think about every single day. There's no break, you know, you're constantly thinking about, you know, what you're going to be doing next, and you have to stay on top of it. And it's so impressive that you can do that together and make it work. I know it's not always easy, but I just am really impressed by that aspect of it.
Yeah. I totally validate what you're saying, just cause I try and put myself in your shoes. If this were Jack and Sunny, and mm-hmm. seeing any of the that would fire me up more than seeing comments about myself. Just my kids. Yeah. Those are my kids. Yeah. I raise them. I totally get that.
Yeah. And I know them. And that's,
yes. I feel like that's, well, I've been talking to friends, and they'll, if they see something, like my close friends or my family, it fires them up way more than it fires me up, just cause I don't look at it. And if I see something, I try and just like brush it off. It's mm-hmm. their opinion. They don't know me. But it fires them up because they feel like, well, I know you, and that's not who you are, and I'm going to fight back. And yeah. It's like, you just got to ignore it. Don't read it.
Yeah, it's but hard.
Sometimes it can be harder for our loved ones than even for us, because we can just kind of like, well, that's, you know, brush it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of want to stand up for your boys and be like, well, that's not who they are.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to, you know, I want to be your biggest fan. I want to be their biggest fan. And so, you know, I want to see your content, but I do find myself sometimes holding back a little bit mm-hmm. because I'm afraid of what
you'll see.
People might, you know, I don't know. Not that I think they should thing. Say.
I don't watch a lot of our stuff because I'm scared. I just don't even want to go there.
Yeah, which is sad, though. I just feel like, you know, people in general, people are all inherently good. I just don't know what happens to people that want to just hurt, you mm-hmm. know. So, but there are people out there like that. And maybe they had, you know, maybe they were traumatized as a child. But mm-hmm. I just feel like that's the hard part is... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on a little bit, we have talked a lot about Derek and Tanner. We're going to ask you what phases of both Derek and Tanner do you feel like were the hardest as a mom, and what were the best as a mom?
Oh gosh.
I know exactly what my mama would say, and she would say that my teenagers were awful. So,
but well, I love, you know, so when my boys were in high school, we had such a tight relationship. They told me everything. Like, I was like, I don't want to hear that. Maybe I don't want to hear that part. Can we just like not, you know, can we just filter out some of it? Can we
talk about how rare that is for a second?
Yeah, that just means you're a good mom.
Yes, most teenage boys and me, I would never tell my mom anything in high school. It was just like a wall that was there that never came down. So for your boys to both feel like they could come to you in high school is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful for that time that we were able to spend together, even when it was just, you know, hard and they were going through hard things or they made mistakes that... You know, they just felt so bad about. And so, but I am so grateful that they felt like they could talk to me about it, even when sometimes I just thought, oh, this is exhausting. I just want to go sleep and just like put the blinders on sometimes because it's easier that way. But all in all, I'm just really glad that we had that relationship. And so I did love to see them grow in high school and you know, I loved to see them with their friends, and I loved to see them doing their, you know, extracurricular things that they loved. And I loved being a part of that. And so I might say that actually high school for both of them, for me, was my favorite, mm-hmm. or the best.
They
phase.
Were so different in high
they
school.
They were so different. They were so different. Tanner was very, very quiet and reserved. And like I said, he was just always observing. And I think he just wasn't as sure of himself. And Derek was a little too sure of himself sometimes. But which was good actually, because even in sports, like, yeah, you know, we would be at a baseball game of his or something, and we would feel so bad for him because he missed this catch, you know, and we're like, oh no, he's gonna, you know, be so sad, or he struck out or whatever. He's like, yeah, but did you see me like run and slide to second base? That was so cool. I am so cool. So, you know, he was good at finding, you know, the good in that. He was pretty confident in that. And Tanner was such a good athlete and, you know, wanted to just do everything just right. Mm-hmm. And so he would just learn. He just wanted to learn so much about, you know, how to do it. And so he was always pretty quiet about everything. He was just always thinking, what am I going to do next? I think he was just thinking about that next big thing he wanted to work toward. So they were, yeah, they were very different. Tanner, yeah, had a very small group of friends that he felt comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And Derek had friends from all aspects of life, mm-hmm, you know?
Yeah. So. No, and that's funny. You describe it exactly how we have, yeah, on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of times, how different they were in high school and how they've changed just being adults.
Yeah.
Now it's almost like, not that they've switched places, but they kind of in a way have.
They have. You're right. They actually have. And I don't know if you were wanted to talk about this.
People don't believe me when I tell them that Tanner used to be shy.
Yeah.
Now.
And now Derek is more on the more introverted, shy,
right,
scale. And
it's true.
It's interesting.
It is true.
I didn't know. You knew both of them in high school and I didn't. I didn't know Derek like that. I knew Derek when I had to force him to talk to me to sit on a bench and he was shy. Yeah. So it's really interesting.
He was shy with girls. He was always a little bit, well, I could be wrong. Maybe he didn't tell me everything.
No, but he was definitely kind of shy with girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both were, mm-hmm, you know. And so, but with Derek's personality, well, Tanner too, girls kind of did gravitate to both of them. But yeah, it's true. They have kind of switched roles. And it was funny because when Tanner, when he finished serving his mission, for our church, he came home and Joe was trying to help him get his oil changed. And so in the past, Joe would take them to the place to get their oil changed and he would do the talking. And so he wanted them to learn how that went, right? So he took Tanner.
Would do the talking or
no,
Joe would
no,
do the
Joe
talking?
Would do the talking. Oh, okay. Joe would do the talking. Mm-hmm. So he started talking and Tanner was like, Dad, I got this. And he was like, huh? He's like, yeah. So he's like talking to this guy, you know, and Joe was just like, he came home and he's like, I can't speak. I don't know what just happened. But but also that happened a little bit before he
started.
So, and I honestly think it was after he met you and started dating you. And I think that was a really good thing for him because honestly, and maybe we'll talk about this in a minute, but because you had asked me before, you know, who did you envision your sons marrying? Like, mm-hmm, who did you have in mind? And honestly, for Tanner, I just thought it would be just a quiet,
sweet little girl.
Sweet. Well, you know, you just have this. And then he started dating Lauren in high school. And I remember going to a football game and Lauren was on top of this table in her cheer uniform, just dancing away. And she had this, you know, wild streak in her hair. And I just went, wow, that's who he's dating.
Okay.
But then he came out of his shell and we went to a basketball game and he was like, leading the crowd in the cheers, you know, and just face painted and having a blast. And so I was grateful for that. And I was excited that he was getting that confidence that, you know, he could, because I also want my kids to have fun because I love to have fun. Mm-hmm. And so when they're not having fun or not able to, it made me really sad. Mm-hmm. And so I was happy to see that he was breaking out of his shell a little bit, but yeah, so that did happen. And then after his mission, even more, and you know, he was buying and selling cars, and that's a whole nother story in Hawaii. But, so yeah. And then Derek did become more reserved. I feel like, with Derek, there was a lot of things that happened in his life, and especially with his mission and coming home early from that and feeling the weight of that, which didn't need to happen. And in the culture of, you know, our religion, it's a culture, and it feels like I've done something wrong, or I didn't measure up. And so I feel like that was kind of his
mental switch
where he just mellowed out. And you know, he also had his accident, but he had always struggled with you know, kind of emotional distress issues and things like that, and anxiety and OCD and all of those things. And so yeah, when, and it was interesting to see that switch happen.
Yeah. You talked a little bit, and you don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, but would you share a little bit about being a mom going through Derek's accident? You don't have to, if you don't want to.
No, I can. Yeah, that was a really, really hard time. But also made me feel empowered as a mom to be able to go through that with my child. And the strength that I look back that I had that I didn't think I could ever, I'd watch other people go through these things, and I just never considered that I would be able to handle that kind of trauma. And so there were so many things sent to us straight from heaven, tender mercies, that I don't know if I would have been able to get through it without those. Just all of these things that fell into place. My brother being at the, you know, he was doing his rounds at the hospital, the emergency room where we were bringing him, that he was there for me and for Derek when we got there. The amazing surgeons that we were able to get that weren't otherwise available, you know, while he was there. He was meant to get through that in the way that he got through that. And, you know, we talked about this, you know, don't take this for granted, because the same, very same day, another young boy, his same age, similar accident, died. So, and that at the same hospital. And, you know, you think about those things, and you think, why was he able to live? And why was this other child, this other mom, why did she have to lose her child? And so those were things that I struggled with a lot during that time. But we grew a lot during that. And we knew that it would be tough for him moving forward. And we didn't even know really what to expect as far as his capacity to learn and to function. And he has surpassed all of our expectations. And again, why is he allowed this grace to do this? Because he's here for a purpose, and we've always talked about that, you know, don't take that for granted, and do the best you can with your life.
Yeah. So. For those of you that don't know, haven't seen our other episodes, Derek fell off of a cliff when he was 14, right? Or
15? He was 14.
14. Their family was hiking in St. George, and he went off the trail a little bit up, and his feet got going too fast on his way down, and he ended up falling how many feet?
It was about 30 feet, but he landed on his face and broke every bone in his face. We couldn't find him for the first few minutes. My husband was like Superman. That adrenaline thing is real.
And you and Joe were the only ones that saw him fall.
We were the only ones. We were watching him, telling him to come down because he was getting too high. And he wasn't wearing the right kind of gear. And we were just, you know, it was a whim to go on a hike. And we just, he's just Derek, and he wanted to push it and push the limits, and he's just wanted to see how high he could get. And so at that point, we were just yelling at him to come down. And when he turned to come down, he just lost his footing and fell off of the edge. And
it's traumatizing. Even I wasn't even there, and it's traumatizing.
So Joe found him. We could see where he fell, but he was in brush and so Joe ran his superhuman strength and got to him in seconds and yelled at me to call 911. And when they got there, it took them 35 minutes to get to him.
Oh my goodness.
And that is too long. And then he was airlifted to Las Vegas because that was the closest trauma center. And
he awake when you found him?
He was not. And so he did wake up when we got, because we had to take the helicopter to St. George Regional and then a biplane from there to Vegas. And I get very, very, very carsick, seasick, airsick. And I was not going to not go with him in that plane. So when we got on the plane, I just prayed that I wouldn't get sick. Derek woke up a little bit and he started to be sick. Mm. And the air was so bumpy. I don't know how we survived that plane ride. I don't know how we didn't crash. It was the worst plane ride I've ever been on. The air was so rough. And we landed and then everything was a blur. And then the next couple of days when I was sitting in there with him, I thought, how did I do that?
Yeah.
How did I make it through
How did you get the strength?
How did I do that? Yeah. And so for me, it was like, we can do these kind of things. And I did that. And so we're going to be okay, and we're going to make it through this. Yeah. And
like you said, there were so many miracles. Even just the fact that Derek is who he is today.
Absolutely.
Is a miracle that he has a family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there are so many blessings that have come from that. And the outcome has just been, we don't take that for granted at all.
Whoa. I was just telling Lauren, I literally can't do one episode.
Okay. We love our criers.
We can't do one episode.
Oh. It's tough.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go to something else. Oh man, I can't even see my notes, guys. It's just a blur. Okay. Let's do a more fun question. Did you think that your boys would get married as young as they did?
Honestly, I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about when was going to be the right time. And maybe that's because I got married so young and my sister got married older. My brother got married older. I just thought, it's so personal. And so I trust my kids, right? And that's something that that allowed me to not worry too much about that I knew that they would do it when the time was right for them and that they met amazing women. And so
that's good to say, because I don't know how Lily was. Actually, she didn't care.
She didn't care.
Tanner. She didn't care. She didn't care. Anything with Tanner.
I was saying, we just had my mom on the podcast, and she was saying that it's like the only issues that my mom and I went through was when I was dating the person right before Tanner. When I started dating Tanner, I had no rules. She didn't care. I was good. I was with Tanner.
She trusted Tanner. No, I was just going to say, I think like my parents were just really stressed that I was getting married so young.
Yeah.
But I was also their first to get married. So I think that was, I'm the youngest and I was the first to get married.
Absolutely. So
I think they were just a little protective, a little scared.
See that. The only thing that kind of pulled my heart was that, and especially with Tanner, and we've talked about this before, that this was changing the whole trajectory of our family.
It was like a new era.
It was a first, and that was a little bit scary. So when Tanner, said that he was going to be getting married, I just, I kind of felt a panic. On the other end of that, which I should have been thinking about more, was here we get to add this amazing person to our family. Now our family's growing. You know, mm-hmm. that's not what I thought of first. So those feelings,
well, change. It's
yeah,
hard.
It was change. And it was, although I do like change, but just, you know, our family had been, we were the family that were like, we're going on family vacation. No friends allowed.
Mm-hmm. Like we'll have dinner every like, night together.
We'll have dinner every night so together. We did those things were important to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's what our family looked like. And so it was going to look so different, you know, and having somebody that
wild
had
and
different.
Coming well, in.
The wild child coming into our family.
We need to talk a little bit more about, first impressions? Because
was the first time she saw me.
That was my first impression.
Did
of
you
Lauren.
Talk to
her? No. I didn't know she was watching me or you wouldn't have been on the table dancing.
I wouldn't have been doing that.
I saw her from a distance. I was just kind of trying to play it low key and say, who's
the girl?
So you
guys didn't actually meet there.
It was when I was like, we were first starting to talk, so we weren't like official or anything. It was just we started hanging out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he was like, so I'm talking to this girl and her name, oh shoot, he had a different name for you. Stacy, that's right.
He called me Stacy and I called him Ted.
Oh,
yeah.
Ted. Yeah, because he pretended, that was one of his things. He would pretend that he didn't know my name. And he's like, what's your name again? And I was like, yeah, it's Stacy. And then I was like, what's your name again?
That is, so that's amazing.
So yeah, so we were like, okay, who is this Stacy girl? And so I just kind of wanted to, cause we went to everything, you know, we were very supportive with the high school, you know, sports and other things. And it was just a community thing for us to do. And we liked to do that. And so I knew that Lauren would be there cause she was on the cheer team there. And so I knew that she would be at that game. So I was looking for her and I looked around and there's this girl on, and he had shown me a picture.
So you knew what to look for. Yeah, you just didn't picture her dancing on the
right?
tape. Oh goodness. I really set myself up for that one.
But story. To be honest, a little bit of my heart, I was a little bit happy because I was kind of that.
Yeah.
In my family, I was kind of the wild child, I guess.
The cheerleader.
And so I thought, yeah, I was kind of just always out there doing something crazy, good or bad. And so a little bit of me was like, oh, this is kind of fun.
So when did you guys actually meet?
I came to your guys' house for lunch. Like Tanner took me during school. And I remember that was the first time I met you. And my first impression was, oh my gosh, your mom's like 20 years old. She's really pretty.
Aww,
and I was like, whoa, like I just thought you looked like his sister.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Still
so
do. Young. You still look like
literally
his sister.
Doesn't age.
Oh, yeah. You're too kind.
That was my first impression. I was so nervous though. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And I didn't know that you'd already seen me dancing. Yeah. So I went in, I think that was good because I went in blindly thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
I have probably would have acted a little weird.
Yes.
She's going in going, what did I do on that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we just thought she was beautiful and fun. And so, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you remember meeting me for the first time? Because I don't really remember.
So it was I remember because this was during that time that Derek came home from his mission and was so hard on himself about it. He literally locked himself in the basement for weeks. He didn't want his phone. He didn't want to see people, which was so sad because he was normally so social and, he just didn't want to deal with it. He kind of has my DNA, I guess, where we have to overshare. And so that was also giving him anxiety because we knew he was going to have to overshare and give too many details.
Every time somebody asked him,
you know, or if he was okay, or then he'd just go into this whole thing. And so so when we finally, I don't know who pulled him out of the basement. I can't remember who invited him to go on that hike. But whoever it was,
Weston.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, we said, you have to go. We're not giving you a choice.
That's so funny because I didn't want to go either. I was like, no way am I going on this.
Anyway. So, yeah. So long story short, you left your purse. Mm-hmm. On purpose or on accident.
Everyone still does this when I tell you it was an accident.
Yeah.
And so, I wish I was that smooth. Like, I literally wish I could be up here and be like, oh, I pulled that off. No, nope, did not. But
she's, so, her and Derek leaving things behind is in their DNA.
Right. Yeah. That's okay. Joe and I were on our nightly walk, and we came back, and you were coming to get your purse. So it was outside in front of our house, I remember. And so it was dark, so I couldn't really, and it was really quick, but I just thought, oh, she was so sweet. And you were just like, oh, hi, how are you? Just very easy to talk to, and I remember that about you.
Yeah, I do. I actually, now I'm getting a vague memory. I think I did leave, this is actually embarrassing. I can't believe I did this looking back, but I left, Derek had broken his flip phone, I think that day. Uh-huh. And then I realized that I didn't have a way to talk to him. And so I dropped chocolate milk on your porch and with my number. And I said, call me. I don't know, because we didn't have a way to talk to each other.
After that's right. I do remember. That was so cute. It was kind
of embarrassing. I don't know.
No, that was really cute. We thought that was cute.
But I was like, how am I going to talk? But is that creepy? Because I've only been to his house once. And I remember driving with my friend going, I think this is the right street. I've only been there once. And I felt creepy. Yeah. I'm like, why am I going there out?
No, that was really cute. I do remember that.
Now. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. For you personally, how has, obviously you're still a mom and you will always be a mom, but how has it been going from being like a full-time mom to now just being grandma, like,
oh my gosh,
with the little babies?
I hate to say this without making you feel bad.
Lay it on us.
But it is honestly so much better.
No, this is what I need to hear, because I honestly,
it only gets better.
It only gets better.
Oh, man. I mean, the love you feel for your own child is one thing, right? I mean, it is everything. And you can never not feel that love once you've felt it. It's just this amazing thing. But it's the same feeling with grandkids and a different way, a different kind of love, but the same love. I don't know how to even explain it.
Is it, you're not responsible for them, but you just get to love
them.
It's
just like this pure, that's all you have to, that's all you have to do. You don't have to teach them. Mm. You don't have to worry about if they are listening to you, you know, hear me what I'm telling you. No, it's just pure joy, fun, love. I mean, yeah, I can't even say enough about being a grandma and the time that we've had.
The amount of times where Michelle doesn't have time but somehow makes time for all the grandkids is beyond me. I don't know how you do. And at the drop of the hat, you will be there to watch them. And I just really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I want a relationship with my grandkids, and I want them to feel so comfortable with me that they could talk to me about anything whenever. And as they get older, I know that's going to be more of a challenge, but I want to build those, you know, bonds now, because that's the foundation of a relationship, I feel like. And so, it's the best. It really is. And people told me that all the time, you know, oh man, grandma gig is the best ever. And I would be like, okay. And I was kind of a little nervous, because I'm like, will I love them? Like, I want to, you know, will I feel that connection? But it has been amazing. And the fact that, you know, we'll just enjoy the time that we have with everybody being so close, you know, in proximity as much as we can. So I'm just trying to do that as best as possible. And I feel bad sometimes because I am busy and I have a lot of other things that occupy my time. And so when there is an opportunity, I'll drop whatever I can to be with them.
I feel like you're always there as a grandma. I don't feel like you're too busy.
I feel so jealous of my kids with their relationship with their grandmas, because I just see you both just be like the best, most.
And honestly, they do. They have.
They do.
I mean, I'm not speaking for me, but I see their other grandmas, and I'm just amazed. I'm just like, you guys so are present. Set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see.
And there's going
to
be more and more and more.
All right.
Right.
Bring them on.
We have one more child that still needs to start going, but three out of the four are giving you grandchildren.
Yeah. You're going to have a lot.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yep. I'm super excited. I'm just like, bring it on.
Bring it on.
For sure.
I do remember when we were all... We were married, and you and Joe always threw in those little So you guys thinking?
To be honest, I'm more like my dad. My dad is very hands off, and he doesn't want to push anybody. He doesn't want to throw his opinion on anybody. Mm-hmm. He does when it's warranted, or if it gets to that point where he's like, "Oh, well, that just came out." But I honestly just, you know, it was more Joe. I was really surprised.
It was more Joe.
Yeah, it was more Joe. I wanted them more than anything. I wanted to have those grandbabies, but I didn't want to be like, you know, guys.
You're very good at staying out. Masking. Like, you don't.
I'm trying.
Yes.
I was totally masking.
You were masking.
I was just like inside, just
and
ready
you
to.
You hear Joe, you're like, ears go out.
Yeah,
like,
I just let him. I'm just like, yeah. Yeah. When are you?
Yeah. So, all right. He opened the door. So
yeah,
here I go.
Yeah. He's good at that or bad at that.
That's good. And now there's just so many. Every time we get all the cousins together,
they're all like the same age.
They all.
It's just a bunch of little toddlers.
It's crazy. It's crazy right now because they're all like, you know, around the same age. And so, yeah, but it's fun to watch them learn how to be with each other. And, you know, I love that Jack and Ozzy have this relationship, like more of a sibling, that they're together so much. And, you know, their other cousins are, you know, just love them. I mean, little Jane running after Ozzy. And Jack on the bikes, and just so happy to be with them. And
it's special that they all get to be around their cousins. Yeah. I think that's amazing. That's how I grew up. That's how you grew up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you grew up around your cousins too.
I didn't. So I had no idea. You know, we saw our cousins once a year.
Okay. That's a little different.
Yeah.
But really I think it's fun to have them all together.
It is really
interacting
fun.
Interacting with each other. It's great.
Yeah. And just know that they're there, you know?
Yeah.
And
little built-in play buddies.
Yeah.
It's awesome. All right. So wrapping this up, we wanted to ask if there is any advice that you'd like to give to moms out there, stuff that you look back on that you wish you knew, just any of that.
I'm not good at advice because I don't like to give it unwarranted. But if you're asking,
I'm asking it.
I honestly feel like if I could go back and do it again, there are a lot of things that I would do different, but a lot of things that I would do the same. I feel like maybe I was more present than I thought I was. But I just feel like with all the distraction and trying to be the best mom, you know, out there, that I kind of lost sight of just loving my kids, you know, trying to get them to do a certain thing a certain way, eat a certain vegetable.
Not naming any vegetables in particular.
Or names of those who might have been forced to eat it. But I've learned that now being a grandma. You know, the grandkids come over and they spill milk on the floor and I go, oh, well, let's help me clean it up. Mm-hmm. You know, where, you know, the stress of just trying to get them to do everything right when they were little.
So not worry so much about the stress.
Right.
The little things.
The little things and just try to see the bigger picture and I know this is so, I don't know what you call it, but maybe hard to hear for young moms, but when you say just enjoy every phase that your kids are going through, because
it's going to be over before you know
it. It's going to be over before you know it. And you'll have missed opportunities. I don't regret. I don't go, oh, I still regret that. I still feel so guilty about that because we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect.
It's more you probably just missed that.
But I did miss. There were opportunities that I missed, you know, where maybe fly off the handle for just some little thing that didn't matter, mm-hmm. you know, or worry so much about things that didn't really matter.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be my best advice, is just to don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Love that. Really great advice.
I always need that reminder.
Yeah. I every day would need that reminder as a mom. Yeah. It's true, because then you get so consumed by all the little things that you feel like are going wrong instead of,
yeah,
I'll deal with that later.
And focus on the things that are going right. Focusing on the good things that are happening.
Yeah.
And I did try and do that with, you know, as they were growing up, because I kind of have that built into me where I try to see the good, and sometimes to a fault, you know.
Miss Tanner.
But yeah,
he has that.
So I'm glad he got that. Yeah. I think that's a good way to be.
It is.
And sometimes we were like, well, you know, then people will take advantage of you. But, you know, I think there's a way to differentiate that. But I would just rather see, you know, the good things and the good in people.
Yeah. So. Well, I just want to thank you for coming on here. It was so fun to have you. And to hear you talk about Tanner and Derek was a treat.
Yes, I love that.
I thought that was awesome. So thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
We feel very lucky that we get to be your daughter-in-laws and that you raised such amazing boys that we're now married to. It really, they got a lot of great qualities from you. So we just love you. And thank you for coming on today.
Yes, and I feel the very same way. And I love you both. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you next time.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.